公英才艺媒体营开始报名喽！七月共两梯次，五月十五号前想早鸟价，请上网搜寻空中英语教室。空英青年之夜，六月二十一号礼拜五晚上七点半在台北真道教会，免费报名参加，请搜寻空中英语教室。
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Today we're going to talk about a preserve in the desert and who needs a zoo, so stay tuned.Welcome, everyone, to today's article on page 10. I am your teacher, Doris, and also in our classroom today.
Hi, I'm Hazel.
I'm Rhonda.
And I'm Maria.
And so thank you for joining us today as we talk about this article. It has to do with travel, but it also has to do with creatures that live on the desert. I think it's pretty interesting. What do you think, Marie?
Oh, I think it's exciting. I love animals, although I've never had a pet of my own. It fascinates me, especially to see animals in the wild. I love that. When I would go hiking with my family, we'd be so excited to see a snake or a bird.
I'm not excited to see snakes.
Okay. We liked snakes. Frogs, grasshoppers,
okay,
is that
better? Yeah.
Fish.
Turtles.
Tarantulas.
Yeah.Tarantulas.
I saw one once, and the person I was with said they're not dangerous, so I enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. I think they do make you feel itchy if, like, they crawl on your hand or something. But anyways, yeah, cool animals. Love them.
Yeah, well, the name of the article is Who Needs a Zoo? They're just trying to say, instead of going to a zoo where animals are all, you know, in cages and things, go out to the desert. But it might be too far for some of you. Look at the map here on page 10. But if you happen to be traveling in the States, maybe you're in Los Angeles or someplace, just go on over to Arizona and go down here to Gilbert, and you can see this wonderful, wonderful zoo. Isn't that a good idea?
That's a great idea. Let's go to the States.
Okay, let's read about it today on page 10.
Who needs the zoo? Birds, coyotes, manta rays, or even your own pet can join you on your next holiday. A preserve in the desert. Gilbert, Arizona is just southeast of Phoenix and offers a wide variety of attractions, but one of its biggest draws is also one of its most natural, the riparian preserve at Water Ranch. The preserve was created for water management and wildlife preservation, as well as for the education and recreation of people. It's classified by the National Audubon Society as an important bird area, with 298 different species calling the preserve their home. The riparian preserve is easy to access and enjoy, with 4.5 miles of trails, both paved and unpaved, for walking, biking, hiking, or horseback riding. Plus, it's pet-friendly, so you can bring your beloved pooch along, as long as it's cool enough for them. Tip: if you're visiting Gilbert during the summer, you'll want to visit the preserve in the early morning or later at night to avoid dangerous levels of heat.
So if you've ever been out west in the USA, maybe you've passed through Arizona, which is one of the 50 states, and we see a city there or an area called Gilbert, Arizona, and it's just southeast of Phoenix, which is also in Arizona. And what does it offer, Maria?
It offers a wide variety of attractions, so many different attractions, but one of its biggest draws, which is what attracts people to the place, is also one of its most natural. So it's all nature. It's the riparian preserve at Water Ranch.
Now, it says it's a preserve. To preserve something, means usually to keep it for something. But what do you think preserve means here, Rhonda?
It's a noun. A preserve would be a place that is kept in its natural state. You don't want human activity there that's unnecessary. You wouldn't build a city or apartments. The idea of a preserve is a place where we keep it in its natural condition. So this article is interesting to me because it's saying there's a preserve that you can go and visit. So they have to manage the place carefully if they are allowing people to come.
Okay. So why did they actually create this preserve in the first place?
So it's created for water management and wildlife preservation. So okay. As our listeners might know, with cities, with a larger population, there's a lot of things that happen to nature. The water maybe is not as clean anymore or not as plentiful, and wildlife is not very present. They leave city areas and go to find different places unless they decide to make their home in the city area. So,
okay. Yeah, it says here that it's classified by the National Audubon Society. What is that society, Hazel?
The National Audubon Society is a society that is especially interested and concerned about birds. And there was a man named Audubon, his last name was Audubon, who drew pictures of wild birds. And you can see that collection today. There are books of his drawings. And so from what his work became the National Audubon Society, which is a very famous society in the U.S. I was going to mention, too, Arizona is a very dry state.
So to have a water
preserve would probably be very important for animals that need a lot of water.
But Hazel, I bet you didn't know that there are 298 different species that call this their home. That's quite a few, isn't it?
That is quite a few. And Rhonda had a good explanation for the word preserve, but actually the word, you can use it when you preserve something, you keep it the way it is. So that fits into with the definition of a preserve such as this one.
And this is a good reason why we might want to go to this preserve, because it's easy to get there and enjoy it. And it says it's got 4.5 miles of trails, both paved and unpaved, for walking, biking, hiking, or horseback riding.
That sounds so fun, and of course I would choose horseback riding if I had a chance to go there, because we can walk in many places, we can bike, we can hike, but horseback riding, that's pretty special for someone who lives in Taipei.
Have you ever done it?
I've never done it. That's
okay,
why I
well, you
really
have to practice
to
a little bit first on
it. Yeah, I know.
It's not only fun to ride a horse, but you don't have to do all the work. You can let the horse do the walking.
Oh, yeah, that's another
Have you ever ridden a horse?
I have, but on a trail ride. Because you have to really grow up with horses to know how. Yes, a trail ride is so much fun where you have a guide.
Well, and another thing about it is that you can bring your dog. It says your pooch. Because a lot of places, you can't take your animals with you. And, of course, when you travel, it's not easy. But I don't know about you. You could take your dogs with you, Hazel.
Sometimes I do. I used to ride horses a lot. I used to have horses. And actually, my pooch, my dog, would follow the horse along the trails.
Really?
And it was a lot of fun. It wasn't in Arizona, though. Arizona's dry, and I think of it as very hot.
Where did you ride horses?
In Maryland, on the East Coast.
Okay.
So, anyway, it says that if you're visiting Gilbert, this place, during the summer, you'll want to visit the preserve in the early morning. Why is that, Rhonda?
The desert is so hot in the afternoon, to the point where it's dangerous to be in that heat. And there won't be big shady
refrigerators.
So early in the morning or later at night when the sun goes down.
So if you want to go there and you like that kind of dry climate, If you don't want to go there, go to Washington State. It's always cool.
Oh, there you go. And I'm sure there's some preserves and wild animals in Washington State as well. But today we're talking about Arizona.
That's right.
And my vocabulary is growing. As a native English speaker, my vocabulary just grew because I had never heard the word riparian. And I thought, oh, I think that means snakes. I don't know why I thought that. Maybe reptile, I thought I was hearing. I looked it up in the dictionary. Never be afraid to use the dictionary. Riparian refers to the banks of a river. Did you know that?
No, I did not. Good to know.
So we all learn in advance, don't we? We learn together. Right.
And I haven't heard the word pooch in a long time. Do people still say pooch, Rachel?
You don't hear it a lot, but pooch. Yeah.
Your dog?
What's that pooch? Yeah. It's just a kind of a,
like a little fun word, name.
A fun name for a dog is a pooch.
Mm. And I think also the fact that this place is pet friendly is pretty good, because I remember seeing like a commentary like video that was being done on the kiwi bird in, I believe it was Australia. And because that bird cannot fly, so it was like a no dog zone because dogs would possibly attack the kiwi.
Or maybe in New Zealand.
Oh yes, I think it was New Zealand. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which place it was. But thankfully, these 298 different species of birds can all fly. So dogs are allowed to go. You can bring your pet. So Hazel, you can bring your dogs.
Oh, great. You might have to keep them on a leash, though.
But I lived in near Arizona in Southern California.
Really?
In the desert area. I would not go out at night with a dog because of the coyotes.
Oh, yes.
I'm pronouncing. I think they are attracted to.
That'd be dangerous for them.
Dangerous for the dog. So that's interesting. So there's a lot to think about if you're going into the desert during the day, the heat, but at night, isn't that when the coyotes come out? Or coyotes?
If your dog was on a leash, I think it would be safer. Maybe. If not, ooh. That would be terrible
if the coyotes attack them.
Coyotes look like dogs too.
If they're on the leash and the coyotes attacked it.
Or maybe your dog would eat the coyote.
I don't know.
But coyotes move in packs.
But I think most of us don't have to worry about that because we might not have the opportunity to go there, and especially to take our dog. But you never know.
You never know.
Well, let's read more about this. Let's go to the next page.
Birdwatching, fishing, and dinosaurs. Families visiting the preserve can also choose from a variety of other activities, like birdwatching, nature photography, painting, fishing at the lake, picnicking under covered areas, camping, and visiting a dinosaur dig site and an astronomy observatory. Travelers can also read and learn through interpretive education panels posted throughout the preserve. The observatory is open to the public on Friday and Saturday evenings, as long as there's good weather, as well as during key astronomical events like eclipses and meteor showers. Travelers who have never been to a desert before will find the preserve charming and educational. With saguaro cactus, migratory hummingbirds, flowering desert blooms, and a stunning variety of mammals that ranges from desert cottontail rabbits to coyotes, it's a great example of the persistence of desert life and the adaptations both plants and animals have in order to live there.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of things you could choose, a variety of all kinds of activities. So when you go someplace, you want to do as many things as you can. What are some of the things you can do there?
Well, for starters, you can do some bird watching. There's many kinds of different birds. Or maybe you'd rather take pictures of nature. You can do that too. Plus painting and fishing at the lake, picnicking under covered areas, camping. Oh, wait, you can visit a dinosaur dig. That would be an exciting thing to see. I don't think the dinosaurs are digging.
Dinosaur
dig site.
People are digging up dinosaur bones, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Which one of those things would you like to do if you went there, Marie?
Oh, I think maybe picnicking under covered areas. Because it sounds like all the rest of them, they might be a little hot. I'd have to do it in the early morning or in the evening. But if you can find a covered area, you can have a picnic.
Yeah, because Chinese people like to eat, so they like to picnic.
Oh, yeah, that's the Chinese side of me. So this place is not just pet friendly, it's family friendly. You can do all these different activities, take pictures, paint, picnic. It sounds like a great place, and look at dinosaur bones. Why not?
Right. If you like photography, there's a lot of things to take pictures of. What about you, Rhonda? Which one would you like?
Bird watching. Now, I would need to go bird watching with a guide. So I picture myself in a group with some borrowed binoculars, and there's a guide who knows how to make us be quiet and listen for the bird songs. I like the idea of it being relaxing, and you use all your senses, and you're listening, and you're learning. I think birds are fascinating.
They are.
I would love to see. And how do they survive in the desert? That would be part of what would be interesting. Where do they get their food?
And something that you would find out by bird watching.
Something I would find out, yes. And I would learn to listen more than I speak. I think it would be character building as well.
Well, besides what you see there on the Earth, it's an astronomy observatory. What does that mean?
Well, an observatory is a place where you observe something. And here you can observe the stars, the heavens, astronomy.
Especially, you know, out in the clear countryside without all the lights of the city, you can really see a lot more in the stars, can't you?
It's stunning. And I have a friend who lives in Arizona, and she says the sunsets in the desert are the most spectacular she's ever seen. Oh, is there a picture?
There's that beautiful picture that you can see of the orange sunset. It's really spectacular. Maybe it's a sunrise. I don't know, but the sun through the sky.
It's something to do, I think, with the dust of the desert. There's some reason that the environment makes the colors more beautiful.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. What else can you do there? You can see and learn what?
You can learn through interpretive education panels posted throughout the preserve. And interpretive is just something that like explains the meaning of different things. And so I'm kind of imagining what we see at zoos, you know, where they will have like a panel like thing, and they'll say like, oh, this animal or this species of plant. And so they have this around the preserve so that people can learn as they go throughout the preserve and learn about the plants and the animals and the different habitats and things like that.
Well, it seems like you can't go there whenever you want, but it's open to the public on Friday and Saturday evenings. And, you know, that's a good time for people. You know, usually on Saturday, people have the day off, and that's a good time to go there. It's not too far away from a big city. And as long as there's good weather, weather means it's not too hot.
Especially if you're looking at the stars, you would want to go in the evening. So Friday or Saturday evening you could go, but the weather's got to be good. And sometimes there are key events, like we know that sometimes the moon or the sun have an eclipse. Sometimes there's a meteor shower.
Have you ever seen one of those?
Yeah, I've seen some eclipses, a meteor shower. I don't think I've ever seen that, but, like falling stars, we could also say, or shooting stars. So that sounds great.
Right. Have you ever seen an eclipse, Rhonda?
No, I think I've heard there's a right way and a wrong way to see one. You can't look directly at it. Maybe I don't know what an eclipse is, Doris.
Okay. Well, if it's an eclipse of the sun, where maybe the moon crosses in between the sun and the earth, that would be very dangerous to just look at with your own eyes. You need either special lenses or even just to see the shadow of it. Or you can see it on a device or on TV or on YouTube or something. There was just one. I think an eclipse of the moon is a little bit different because the moon is the bright part, and so it kind of disappears a little bit. So it's just interesting, and they can predict when these are going to happen. They happen at regular times, so sometimes you can read about it in the paper, and you can't usually see it from all around the world. You either see it at different times or different locations, but apparently here they'll let you know when it's going to happen, and you can visit at that time and see a special event.
Well, you know, travelers have been to a lot of cities, a lot of interesting famous places, but some of them, some travelers have never been to a desert before. So what would they find that they like about the desert?
Well, they would find it charming and educational. And I think that's interesting because when we think of, at least when I think of the desert, sometimes I just think of sand and just miles and miles and miles of more sand.
And heat.
And yeah, oh, and heat. And so it's like, would the desert be really charming? But apparently the desert in Arizona, charming and educational, there's cactus, which is plants that can thrive very well in desert areas, and there's migratory hummingbirds. Who would ever think of that? And it's flowering desert blossoms and a stunning variety of mammals. And there's rabbits and coyotes. And so, yeah, it does sound like a very charming and educational place to go and to visit.
Right. And it's a good example of the way on the desert, because it's so hot and a lot of things like that, but the persistence of the desert life, they can still live through all that, all of these plants and these animals and so forth. They adapt. The plants and the animals, they know how to live there. Now, we have to adapt, you know. I'm from the Northwest, and when I first came to Asia and went to Hong Kong, it was too hot. I couldn't stand it because your blood has to adapt. But later on, you adapt to it. Now, if I go back to Washington State, I'm too cold because I've adapted to the hot weather. Mm. So we have to adapt to the different climate.
That's a great word. I was thinking along those lines how in English we use desert as a metaphor. We complain, my life is a desert, or, oh, it's a desert there. And along with what you said, Maria, we think it means emptiness, nothing. This is really wonderful to read that the desert is full of life and variety, so we don't have to be negative about the desert.
And what would you like to see if you went there, Hazel?
Well, I guess the birds would be kind of fun to see, but I like this coyote there. Maybe see the coyotes if they're not too dangerous or if you don't get too close. There's a lot of different kinds of cactus, and I think the plural is cacti. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, well, anyway, you can look that up because now we know how to use a dictionary. But it would be fun to go there. I've also heard some deserts are very, very hot in the daytime, but actually cool off and can be quite cold at night. So I'm not sure if this desert in Arizona is like that or not, but some deserts are not always hot, just mostly in the daytime.
Well, you can see the picture on page 10 of the beautiful sky because the sunsets are just so beautiful on the desert. And
yes.
So it's good for photography, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Very colorful. And you can see some of the cacti or the different types of cactus that are sticking up through those other plants. But look at all the vegetation there. I think of just sand, too, usually. Maybe in Egypt or something it's more sand. But here you can see a lot of vegetation in that area.
Yeah, and it does look very pretty.
The cacti, that's a good reminder. It is cacti, the plural. Exactly know how to pronounce it. I usually say saguaro cactus. That's in our article line 15, Spanish word. A lot of the words used in that part of the United States are Spanish. Those are the classic cacti that you often see in paintings that are almost look like a tall, skinny person with two arms bent on the side. That's the typical shape of them. And those are the classic kind of cacti you see in the Arizona deserts. And that's a whole field of study, cacti, the way they store water. There's one called a barrel cactus that's round, and the way they have water stored inside. What's that bird doing in that picture,
it
by the way?
It says it's a woodpecker, but look at all the sticky things, the thorn-like
thorns.
Things. You would think it would be a little dangerous to be pecking on that. Jeez. But they've adapted so that they can survive in the desert area.
So if you've never been to a desert, probably you thought, well, I like to go to the city and see all the life and excitement. But there's a lot of life and excitement on the desert if you look for it. So give yourself the opportunity to try a desert sometime. And this sounds like a nice place if you're traveling and you can go by there. Just stop by and enjoy it.
Yes, definitely. And if you're like me and you love all the beautiful pictures that you can see on your magazine, then maybe nature photography is for you, because then you could be the one taking these beautiful pictures. I know a few friends who love to take pictures of nature, and yeah, nature is just beautiful. Pictures can only capture so much of the beauty of nature, but yeah, taking pictures is definitely a great option to do in this preserve in Arizona.
So even though our article says who needs a zoo, zoos are okay because sometimes we can't go to the desert, but if you get an opportunity and you're nearby, well, just take a side trip. Take a little time out and go and enjoy what there is for you at the desert and look for all these different things. Hope you see some woodpeckers. I don't know about the coyotes. You better stay away from them.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of dangerous from a distance if you're in a car. It's okay.
Or
don't,
if you're
don't get
a
out
rabbit
and try to
alone.
Feed them.
If you're a rabbit alone in the desert at night, a pack of coyotes will definitely come howling and surrounding you. But I don't think you have to worry, Doris.
Because we're not rabbits.
And you won't go there alone. We'll all go together.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Good. Well, thanks for being with us today. As we've talked about this place on the desert, I hope that you'll do that on your next holiday or whenever you have an opportunity. But you have an opportunity to travel with Advance as we discuss these things and learn things together. So come back tomorrow and we'll learn some more. Goodbye for now.
Bye, everybody.